Morning, everybody. Good morning to you here. Good morning to those of you that are online. I am really glad that you're all here. One quick reminder, we already talked about Connect cards, but I always like to, you know, share that again. If you haven't already, fill that out, especially if you're online too. Fill that out. We'd like to connect with you. And I love praying for you guys. I just got to share that. So please fill out your prayers and praises too. But yeah, video games, man. I know I'm thinking, a lot of you probably don't play video games, maybe. I don't want to make any judgments here. But I'm going to guess that at least you know at least one person who plays video games. And if you don't, now you do, because I play video games. I grew up playing video games. I still play video games when I can find the time now. And I love playing video games with my family, with my kids. The game I'm going to be talking about today is actually one of my favorite games to play, even though lots of you probably haven't heard of it. But yeah, it's just a lot of fun. It's fun because it is a way to connect with my kids. It's a way to connect with other people, to find like these little nuggets of joy and things that we enjoy together. And I just have to share that, you know, I spend a lot of time with kids, with youth. And when I shared that there was going to be a video game series, they were like, yes, like so excited about it. So even if you don't really get it, a lot of people get it. And I think it's just a really awesome thing. Now, of course, we're not just talking about the video game. We are going to be in the Word, hearing the Word of God, because that's what we're really all about. But it's going to make those connections. So before that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we are able to find the ways to connect fun things like video games with your word, that you find different ways to speak to us. Lord, we're just so grateful for all that you do. We pray that we hear your word today as I'm speaking and you are speaking through me. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. So, the game is Stardew Valley. How many people have actually heard of this game? Okay, that's about what I thought it was going to be. That's okay. That's okay. I'm going to share a little bit of history on the game first. Let me look at my notes for that. Okay, so Stardew Valley, which you can see on there, is a farm life simulation game. It was developed by a man named Eric Barone. He had graduated from college with a computer science degree, but he couldn't land a job in the industry, and he wanted to be able to use his skills, so he was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to do it myself, and he spent 4.5 years designing this game all on his own. He partnered with a publishing company to kind of distribute the game, but he does all the work, all the graphics, which it's like really amazing, the storytelling that's in this game. And it's sold over 20 million copies. Yeah. So what I like about this game is, well, one of the reasons I like this game is that it reminds me of a game that I used to play. It was actually inspired by another game called Harvest Moon. Has anybody heard of Harvest Moon? Okay, I've got a few more. Okay. So this is a game that I played back when I was like in high school. And so Stardew Valley was inspired by this game. It's very similar, and it's just a lot of fun. I mean, you go back to the Stardew Valley, it's like my favorite thing is that you get to have your own little farm. It's just like, it's not like a fighting game. You're just like peaceful, you know? You're just like, I can just farm, and I can fish in the rivers, and I can go foraging in the forest, all from the comfort of my couch, you know? I don't actually have to leave. So that's what's so awesome about it. And really, like, there's a bunch of characters in the game, too, so you can, like, find ways to connect with all these different characters and build relationships with them. And there's some characters that are, like, really challenging to build relationships with, which, you know, is a little bit like real life. There's one particular character named Shane who doesn't want to be friends with anybody, and I've made it my goal to be his best friend, so... It's just a lot of fun, truly. But really, there's also lessons from this game that we can use and apply to real life. So the creator, he wanted to put real world lessons into the game that we can apply. So one of them is that exploration is worth it. So in the game, you can explore, you can find recipes and cook things after you build a kitchen in your house. You can go mining in the caves and There is some fighting of monsters there, but it's fun. And you can even, there's even another island that opens up. So you can explore. And just like in our real world, we want to explore. We want to get out, not always stay on the couch, play video games, but get out into the world, right? Also in the game, we know that success, doesn't mean that everyone likes you or that you have all the money. Just like in real life, it's not about you. It's about you bringing joy into the world. It's about you affecting other people, the effect you have on others. And that's in the game. It's about bringing joy into the community, which is something we should be doing as well. And finally, you also, like I said, have to build these relationships. So in the game, you have this little list of people and they have hearts next to them. And so you have to build up these hearts and they get filled in red. And you have to do that by actually going and spending time with people and doing things to help them and giving them gifts and building relationships with them. And when you don't, if you're selfish or just doing things on your own and not paying attention to the relationships, you start to lose those hearts. And you start to lose the relationships. And that's pretty true to real life. When you're not spending time with people, you're losing those connections. So that's a big, really important lesson from this. So again, we are going to be focusing today on really some of the lessons from this, but really the lesson from God in the Word of God. And the lesson I'm hoping that you can hear today is to let your faith grow your emotional intelligence. And I'll be talking a little bit later about what emotional intelligence is for us, but that's what I hope you hear as we go into the Word. So with that, let's turn to the Word. We're going to be in Philippians 4. So get your Bible or your Bible app. We're going to be starting with verse 2. And this is a letter from Paul to the Philippians. Excuse me. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard in telling the others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So this is Paul's letter, as I said, to the Philippians. He knew the people in Philippi. He had spent time with them. They had supported him emotionally and financially. And so he took the time to write them this letter while they were going through a rough time. They were struggling with some conflicts and some different things. And this communicated that they were important to him. He cared about them. He wanted them to know that their problems were worth talking about. He wanted to hear them and help them. But beyond just him helping them, he focused on Jesus. He wanted them not to focus on what was going on. He wanted them to be able to resolve their problems by focusing on Jesus, which is the center of their relationships. So he got practical in this letter. He helped them with their problems. He helped them with their questions. We're not going to cover the whole letter, but if you read on, you'll see all the different ways he was helping them. But always focusing on pointing back to Jesus as he's writing to them, as he's continuing to build his relationship with them. That it's not just about him, but about Jesus. Right? So the way this ties into emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence, sometimes it's called EQ. It's the way that we behave. It's the way that, not just the way that we behave, but the way that we understand we have an effect on other people in how we say and do things. So today, in general, it's very important to have a high emotional intelligence. And yet, I would say over time now, in culture, it's becoming rare to have high emotional intelligence. We've got social media, phones, entertainment, all these things where we're just having a screen in front of our face all the time. And so, you know, we forget sometimes how to talk to people in real life. we're even hiding behind a computer sometimes maybe and typing your thoughts and not realizing how you might be affecting other people with that. I would say that the pandemic definitely hurt a lot of our social skills and our emotional intelligence, being kind of stuck and cooped up in our own spaces and not being out there in the world. And loneliness and anxiety, especially when you're going through that, when you're hurting, it's really hard to help other people. It's really hard to put on a joyful face and show care for others when you're struggling yourself, right? But, and it can affect other people. It can affect other people greatly. When you're not careful about what you say or what you do, you can cause a lot of pain for other people when you're not, when you don't have high emotional intelligence. So when I was younger, I really enjoyed doing art. I took a lot of art classes in junior high and high school. I even won some like awards. I was like, I really like this. I'm getting kind of good at this. And I was like building my confidence and really enjoying it. And then I had a conversation with somebody who I really looked up to. I highly respected this person. I really valued their opinion. And they said to me, you know, your art is pretty good, but you're not really going to be an artist. You're not a true artist. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but but okay. And so as a teenager, hearing those words especially was like devastating. That really like knocked down my confidence big time, major blow. And it began to sow this seed of self-doubt in me, always questioning like, oh, well, I thought I was going to be good at this, but now I have other people, you know, and of course, when you're a teen, you're really more susceptible to what other people are saying. And it really did affect my life in a way. I stopped pursuing art the same way that I had before, because I just thought, okay, well, maybe I'm not an artist. Now I do still enjoy art now, but the point being that you have to be careful about what you say and how you say it and realize how you're affecting other people. But part of this, again, is growing your emotional intelligence. It is possible to grow, to get better, to focus on other people, not just yourself, and how you're affecting others. So we're going to talk about that. What is emotional intelligence? How do we grow emotional intelligence? So have some more facts here. Emotional intelligence was sort of been studied a lot by a psychologist named Daniel Goleman. He's done a lot of work on it over the years. He came up with 5 main areas of emotional intelligence. And his areas are self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and social skills. So those are the ways in the world that they talk about emotional intelligence, but we're going to go and see what we can learn from about emotional intelligence from Philippians today. There's 3 specific things that we're going to focus on, 3 specific actions that we can all put into place to help grow our emotional intelligence. So the first one is to focus on Jesus, right? It's all about him. When Paul was writing to them, he told them, not to focus on themselves, not to focus on what was going on around them, but to focus on Jesus, especially in your relationships. When you're putting Jesus at the center of your relationships, that is called humility. You're putting Jesus above you, above your circumstances, above what's going on. And it's a lot easier to be considerate and kind when you're realizing Jesus is in the middle of this, right? And your focus is really important because it helps guide where you're going. It helps guide where you're walking. Imagine like even focusing, literally focusing with your eyes. It's important that you're looking of where you're going. If you're walking and you're looking down, you're most likely going to run into something or trip and fall when you're not focused on the right thing. So it's the same way in relationships. If you're too focused on all the petty things or the nitpicking or the circumstances around you, you lose sight of the importance. And so that's why we need to focus on Jesus in all of our relationships. Then we also need to get your attitude from above, right? This is a big one for me. Your attitude, it is so important to have a good attitude. Because your attitude affects everybody else around you. You can change how people think based on the way your attitude is. And so you don't want to let the circumstances and the people affect your attitude. So remember, when Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison on trial for his life. And yet, in this letter, he continually talks about joy again and again. Having joy, being joyful, having hope in Jesus, right? Your attitude, when it's from God, you're not crushed by your circumstances. You're not crushed by other people's perceptions because you're focused on God. God is the Almighty One. He is in control. We don't need to worry. He is what brings us joy, even in the midst of sorrow, right? Even when things are going on. There's a quote by William James. I don't know if we have a slide for it, but it says, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitude of minds." So thinking joyfully will change the way you think about things. Now, this is not to say that you shouldn't experience emotions. You should experience sadness. You should experience anger. You don't want to, you know, hide all that or close that up. You want to be able to experience your emotions, but you want to experience them in a healthy way. And then when you're around others, be able to be full of joy and hope and spread that hope and love to others, because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus called us to do, right? And that is what we're here for. Having a joyful attitude, it impacts the people in your life. And again, we want to help people see that hope for what's next, that hope for the future. And finally, in growing your emotional intelligence, you need to deal well with disagreements. You want to deal with disagreements in a healthy way. So conflict. Everybody's experienced conflict. It's normal. It's natural in relationships. It's just a part of life when you have relationships. And so that was what was going on in this letter in Philippians. There were some people dealing with conflicts. And Paul, he wasn't upset with them. He wanted them to be able to resolve their conflict. He was asking other people to help them to come in, to bring them back together, to get through this conflict so they could continue doing the good work that they had been doing, preaching and teaching the good news, telling about Jesus. Again, not focusing on all these little things around you, but on our true purpose, right? So when we go through conflicts, our relationships actually grow deeper. When we go through healthy conflicts, it grows deeper, right? Our teams and our families, when we go overcome adversity, we can grow stronger. We're building trust with each other, right? We're able to learn more about each other and to move forward in relationships, how much stronger we are. So those are all the things that we learn from Philippians, just this small section, on how to grow our emotional intelligence, how we can be stronger, how we can be full of joy. Emotional intelligence, remember, is an awareness of yourself. It's an awareness of other people, an awareness of how your attitude, your words, your actions affects other people. But most of all, it's on focusing on God above all else, above any circumstances around you, above any perceptions of people around you. You know, you might hear things or see things, but we can take the time to continually point people back to Jesus in all that we do. So my faith has grown my own emotional intelligence. I used to be a little bit hot-headed, I would say, as a child. So I'd kind of like let my emotions explode, right? But as I've matured and focused on Jesus, he has helped me to focus my thoughts, my emotions, to know how to process them with him first. So going to God first in my thoughts, you know, and he can handle it. I know some people don't want to yell at him, but he can handle it. Or journal it out. That's personally what I like to do. Journal out my thoughts. What's going on? Why? But it's just so much healthier to vent those things to him. And then maybe have a support system of people in your life that you can go to, that you can process things with. Because that way you're not going out to the people in the world, the people around you, and going, blah, 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 blah. You know, you're able to focus. You're able to be full of joy. And your attitude, again, it makes such a huge difference. And so when we trust in God above all things, that's what helps me to have a joyful attitude. That's what helps me to be full of hope. And I know I have preached a very short sermon today, but I think it's important. And so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word, for your actions. Help us to put these actions into place, to grow our emotional intelligence by focusing on you above all else. By having an attitude full of joy, full of your joy, no matter what is going on around us, no matter what our circumstances are, by dealing with conflicts in a healthy way and building our relationships up with trust, by trusting in you, God, and moving us forward in the future with joy and hope. Lord, you are an amazing, almighty God, who we can trust with our whole lives, Lord. And I pray that over every single person hearing that today. Lord, again, we thank you for letting us experience you and your word. In your name, Jesus, amen.